Today's first reading is from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 11. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans? With words without knowledge, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come, and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.'" Our second reading is from Psalm 107, 1 through 3, and 23 through 32. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders." Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you once again for this chance to gather here in your name with your presence among us. Lord, just speak to us and speak to our very hearts and spirits today that we may understand the new ways and be opened up to you. Amen. I would invite any of the kids to go with Beth and Maya here at this time. They have some children's church. It's great. We got a number of volunteers. Now they're rotating different Sundays, taking the kids out for age-appropriate learning while we learn in here. So thanks to the volunteers. We really appreciate that. And also great to see so many kids here. That's wonderful. So wonderful. All right, it had been a long day for Jesus. He had been preaching, and crowds again were coming from all over. This is the big excitement, the big stir in the land. It had been a long time since they've had this, right? There had been no prophets, the 400 years of silence. And now there's this Jesus walking around, not only teaching incredible things of God, but doing miracles as well. So people coming from far and wide. And so many people came that they had to put into a boat and push out from shore. Now this gave them a better view of him. And of course, sound carries over the water too. You've been out in the water on a calm night. You can hear things from way far away. You got to be sort of careful what you say on those nights because people can hear you from across the lake, right? Okay. So it's just one of those scenarios there. And there's something calming about being by the water, too. You notice that a lot of people build houses near water, and we like to be in water for recreation. And it's just reassuring, you know, when you see the lake and you see rivers and things like that, water necessary for life. So what better place for him to teach these parables? And some people were in boats around him, too, I'm sure, and I'd be one that was just sort of wondering, could I maybe slip a line over the side here and fish while I listen? Oh, yeah. And there's probably some people that were, who knows? Might as well. Okay. Just try not to distract anybody. So after this, then, they decided to go down to the southeast part of the lake. It's about 13 miles across. And waiting for him there, of course, is the healing of the demon-possessed man. But night is coming, so they take off. And other boats follow them. The other gospel accounts don't mention anything about other boats, but I just found that curious in Bible study. And that sort of spoke to me too, because later on I'll be wondering, what were the people in these other boats thinking when the storm is calmed here? So they're out there, and a storm starts to come up. These disciples, many of them had been fishermen, and they had spent careers on this lake, fishing with their father, and they've been through storms before. But this one, even they are afraid. So this is no ordinary storm. Their water is rising, it's coming up over the side of the boat, and they're starting to panic. They are at the mercy of a storm which had no mercy. I've never been out in the ocean on a storm. I've been, you know, out in Minnewaska times where a sane person probably wouldn't. Yeah, and experience some of that. But or else I'll duck hunting with our canoe or something like that, and a wind comes up, and it can get a little hairy there. And there are no shortcuts back to land. You know, the shortest distance between two points. You can try to head into the wind if you're in a sailboat and things like that and plow through the waves. You don't want to get sideways to it because the sails are going to catch the wind, and the physics, you know, tau equals FD sine theta, just going to torque you over there. And then besides, you get the rolling and the pitching if you're sideways to the waves. So these are experienced sailors, and they're doing everything they can. They're shortening the sail so there's less catch. If you have too much sail up, it's going to rip them to shreds, or else it's going to start to get and tip you over. So they're doing everything they can, and it's still not enough. Storms are incredible displays of nature's power. I like watching them. When everybody else is down in the basement, I'm the one that's upstairs, just wow. Okay, still enjoying that and just feeling that. There's something about it. There's something, you're sort of in awe. A hurricane would really be interesting. I've never experienced that yet, not directly at least. But that would be something. All right, so it gets to the point where they wake up Jesus. And somehow he's sleeping through all this. In the cushion in the stern, just, yeah, catching some Z's back there, and they wake him up. And this reminds me of the psalm that we read this morning, too, the Psalm 107 there. I turn back to that momentarily. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Same thing, right? Previous to that, in 27, it says, they reeled and staggered like drunken men. Again, that deck is pitching in this psalm here. They're out in the ocean. They were at their wit's end. And then they cried out to the Lord. They waited till they were at their wit's end. How human. Why not cry out sooner, huh? Why not? Why do we wait till the last minute before we turn to the Lord? Should be walking with him constantly, talking with him constantly, in that sort of connection with him. And before it gets to that point, talking to him. Or the other example is, of course, God through other people. It's hard to ask for help. We wait till the last moment. Again, I've said it several Sundays. Every person around you right now in this room is willing to make time for you if you need someone, if you have trouble, reach out. Don't wait to the last minute like they're talking about here. So they wake Jesus up. And in 38, it's sort of a funny question. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're asking Jesus if he cares. Okay. Well, they're focused on the storm, right? They're not focused on the peace of God or anything like that or what Jesus can do. They're focused on the storm. And when our focus is on the storm, we can be sort of overcome by it, sort of overwhelmed by it. It can seem like it's insurmountable. But when our focus is on God, storms are calm. You can be in the midst of a storm. It's still raging all around you, but you remain calm because your focus is on Him. And His peace is available. So Jesus then, with three words, "Quiet, be still," stops this force of nature. Wow, three words. And were the words even necessary? Couldn't he just, like that, or something like that? It would have stopped, absolutely. I think the words here were probably for the benefit of his disciples, so they would know where the power was coming from. That was coming through Jesus, from the Father. It sends a message. Why? Is there a freaking out? Yeah, and a quiet be still, not only to the storm, but also to the disciples, perhaps, right? And if we listen for it in the midst of that storm, maybe we'll hear those same three words to us at times. Quiet, be still. I've got this. Depend on Him. Cling to Him. Seek Him. Operate in His power, but seek His peace. So yeah, those three words speak to us today as well. And you can say those out loud to your fears. Not just in your mind, but the next time things are getting overwhelming, just say it out loud. Quiet. Be still. I belong to God. And He has this. I belong to Jesus. At His name, it has to flee, right? Try that. So then a complete calm follows. And this is where I'm wondering about the other boats. It's dark out. They haven't seen what happens. All they know is that there is this incredible storm raging around them, and all of a sudden it's just calm. What's up with that? What were they thinking in those other boats? I'm sure the word spread quickly. People started hollering from boat to boat, what happened? And then the disciples in Jesus' boat saying, "I'll tell you what happened. The power of God displayed over nature." They had seen miracles. They had seen healings. They had seen blind people given sight, the lame given mobility and movement and growth once again. That's incredible. But that's on a small personal scale. I mean, this is against a big storm. God displaying His power over nature. And they had to have just gone, wow. It probably took a while to sink in. I'm sure there was silence not only from the storm, but silence within the disciples for a while. They're just sort of, wow. Okay. And He follows up with, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Fear and faith. Opposites. We've already said that, right? In the fears, draw on your faith, right? Ask God for that. So if you're living in fear, you need to be living in faith. When we're confronted by things, you look at how a Christian that's a strong believer will react versus someone else, they're panicking. No, God's got this. Got to see it this last week at my dad's funeral and things like that too. We looked at it as a celebration, right? I've been to some where people are just, they're just destroyed. We were celebrating. It was pretty cool. Because of faith. Because of faith. When we have faith, we don't have to fear. Again, our focus needs to be on God and His peace and not on the storm. You look back in 2 Kings when Elisha is up against the Arameans. And they're surrounded. And the servant says, "Oh, what are we going to do?" He says, "Don't worry. God's got this. Those that are with us are greater," right? I had that bookmarked here. Turn that back. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So it looks like they don't have a chance. 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" And they're surrounded by a mighty army. And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God's forces, God's power, all there, all available. And with faith, we have nothing to fear. And then he strikes him blind, and you know the rest of the story. Or read it again if you haven't. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a good one. So we should not be living out of fear. Tuesday morning Bible study, Marcy put it nicely. She talked about unnecessary anxiety. Unnecessary anxiety. We don't have to have the anxiety. We don't have the fear. It's unnecessary if we have the faith, if we trust in God. He wants us to live fearlessly. All right, so back to the story. The response of the disciples, again, the calm. And they were terrified. Shouldn't they be relieved? But it says, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." This is a different kind of terrified. This is awestruck. This is, who is this guy? We've traveled with him. We've seen him do incredible things. We've heard him tell incredible truths. But he's able to do this as well. And they're just, wow, who is this? Those three words. Also, during the week, I came into this room and I was singing some hymns and I'm praying and I start to read the scriptures just in preparation for the sermon. I do a number of things. You know, I research, I read it through with Jill, I read the Tuesday morning group, and then and God, of course, shows up too, which is great. And I'm in here reading it out loud to an empty room, and I get to those words, "Who is this?" And I just start, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? Who is this?" And that just started speaking. When you encounter the living word and it speaks to you. And it was just overwhelming. Who is this? Yeah. Who is he? The disciples are wondering about that. Again, they knew him. They'd seen God's power through him, but they're wondering, who is this? And later on, the disciples would sort of get it. Peter would say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He finally got it. Who Jesus was. Thomas later on, "My Lord and my God." He finally got it, who Jesus is. Have we got it yet? A lot of people see him as maybe a historical figure or someone in a book or someone who possibly lived a long time ago. As Christians, we know different. But on a personal level, when you get it, when you have that encounter and you understand, who is this? It changes everything. So how can we describe him? Who is this? It turns out that words cannot describe him. He is given many different titles in Scripture. Among them, this list is not comprehensive. There's a lot of them on here. And it cannot fully describe him. But some of his characteristics, he's many-faceted, our advocate. Jesus is the Almighty. He is the Alpha and Omega. Each of these have a scriptural citation. From Revelation 3:14, the Amen. From 1 John, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The author of life. The author and perfecter of our faith. The author of salvation. The beginning and the end. The bread of life. The bridegroom, each one of these could be a sermon. The capstone, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, deliverer, the gate, faithful and true witness, first and the last, the firstborn over all creation, God. The Good Shepherd. Each of these should be creating like a mental image for you, bringing back a Bible passage that you've read. The Great High Priest. Head of the Church. Heir of all things. Holy and true. The Holy One. Our hope. Horn of Salvation. I am the image of God, Emmanuel, judge of the living and the dead, King eternal, King of Israel, King of the Jews, King of kings, King of the ages, Lamb of God, Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, Lord, Lord of all, Lord of glory, Lord of lords, man from heaven, mighty God, morning star, offspring of David, only begotten Son of God, our holiness, our Redeemer, our righteousness, prophet, rabbi, the resurrection and the life, righteous branch, righteous one, the rock, ruler of God's creation, ruler of the kings of the earth, Savior, Son of David, Son of man, Son of the Most High God, source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the stone the builders rejected, true bread, true light, true vine, the truth. Wisdom of God, the Word, Word of God, the way, the truth, and the life. All these ways in which he is referred to in Scripture and more. And we still cannot fully answer the question, who is this? Who is this? Who is he? He's the one that loves you so much. He is willing to give his all to make you righteous, to make you worthy to stand before the Father. He's that kind of guy, and he's that kind of God. Amen.